everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Mummel Road podcast. My next guest has a really important job. Her job is being the head of school operations for the Hunter Aspect School. Her name is Megan Lloyd, and I feel very privileged to have been able to interview her for my podcast. I know you'll love this interview, and I can't wait to hear your feedback. Enjoy! Hi Megan, how are you today?
Yeah, really well, Emily. Thank you for taking the time to chat with me.
Oh, not a problem. You're the one that I need to be thanking. You're a very busy lady, and I've been really interested in having this conversation with you because I know I'm going to get a lot out of it, and I know that the parents are going to get so much out of it. So, Megan, for the listeners out there, could you please give us a brief overview of your current role at the Aspect School?
Sure. So I am the head of school operations at Aspect Hunter School. I feel really, really privileged to be in that role within such a brilliant school. We've got 200 students face-to-face this year and then 25 in our distance education program spread over 8 campuses in the Hunter and Port Macquarie. So we're quite a large school in terms of special schools. That means that my role has quite a strategic focus nowadays. As we've grown, since I've been here, we've grown from about 140 to 225 kids. But as well as that strategic part, my job satisfaction depends on me having day-to-day contact with students and kind of supporting them through their day and supporting staff to do a really, really good job. Aspect is a charity. It's got a therapy and an adult services and an education component across New South Wales and Victoria and South Australia. So I feel really blessed to be part of an autism specific organisation, and I feel really aligned with the values of the school as well.
Oh, just hearing your job description almost gives me goosebumps because it sounds really huge and really important, but I know that there's nobody else that could do that role like you because of your personality and your knowledge. A huge part of your role, like you just touched on, is to support families who have a child or an adolescent or even an adult on the spectrum. This is a really complex role, but it is such an important one. Can you give us a brief insight into the different ways that your school supports families, particularly the families who have a child? And for this part, maybe focus on those younger children who may be transitioning from preschool into a school setting, or though the younger children who may have just recently received a diagnosis of ASD. Could you just give us a brief overview of that role?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a real passion area of mine and our principals as well. Aspect runs what we call our Aspect Comprehensive Approach, which kind of gives us guidance in a bunch of different areas about how we work. And one of those areas is around family engagement, because all of the research says we have to work in partnership with families to get the best outcomes for our students, which is obviously what we're all here for. And we know that's what families want when they come to us. So we're really committed to formalise that partnership working. But I think one of the greatest things about working at this school is that that partnership ethos is really embedded in everything we do. So we have all classes are set up with a communication app where families get almost daily snapshots of what's happening in the day and updates or questions and that kind of open communication. We're really proud to just be able to meet with families whenever we need to. I had a meeting this morning. A family raised a concern on Friday night about a difficult social interaction their daughter had, and so we just arranged to meet this morning and just talk through it. We're really committed to having that kind of nip it in the bud approach, that we want to be on top of concerns, on top of celebrating successes as they come up. So we're really, I feel like if we have that true partnership, open door working, then hopefully no big challenges ever arise. The formal structure for our partnership working is twice a year. We have individual plan meetings to formally review goals and check in more generally, particularly around if a student is transitioning into our school or out of our school. And our kindergarten orientation is a huge part of what we do in term four. So all other year groups, because kids start with us at all different points in their education, but nowhere near on the scale of our kindergarten orientation and enrollment. So all other year groups want to run a bespoke transition plan for what suits the family and the student. So for instance, this year, next year, we're welcoming in two external year seven students who have really different transition plans based on their individual needs and their experience of school so far. But the kindergarten orientation is a huge piece of work. We run, because a lot of those families are relatively new to diagnosis or relatively new to being part of a special needs community, we run as in-depth parent support and family support as we do child support. So we have workshops. Unfortunately, this year they're all on Zoom, but workshops with families focused on a bit about how the school works, but also a lot around what we know about autism and how that shapes how we work with our kids. The workshops are also really focused on connecting families with each other, because we feel like that could potentially be a lifelong support for other families to have to connect strong connections with other families who are in the same boat. During that transition as well, we want to involve external specialists or really anybody who has knowledge to share about that child. So we've often run transition meetings with aunts and uncles and neighbours or anybody else who's got real insight that will shape what we're doing and how we work with the child. Alongside those parent workshops, we have visits for the children, and there's this year there'll be five visits, which we're lucky to be able to do within the restrictions. And then if a child within that needs an additional visit or needs some specific support, it's a really bespoke, individualised approach, because we're really passionate about everything we do being person-centered and driven by the different range of needs and strengths and interests of the child. Part of that orientation as well is an opportunity for the family to meet the teacher and hopefully the aide, who'll be that person's teacher and aide next year. And they craft what we refer to as a 5-point star, which is really just our framework in five different areas to best understand the child. So it's things like how they best communicate, what their real passions and motivations are, what their sensory needs look like, and so on. And we really want to gather all that information from families and specialists and anybody who can help give us a really clear picture of the child so we can structure our support around that.
As a parent myself, knowing that your school will be able to offer those families that targeted and specialised support is just amazing. I remember very clearly myself receiving his diagnosis as a 3-year-old and just craving somebody who could enlighten me to the ASD as a disorder. I don't like to use that word, but you know, the diagnosis, and also somebody that could really help me understand his strengths and his needs, because the two are very important. So I've just briefly mentioned the fact that my son Charlie has a diagnosis, and previous interviews I've spoken with other people at length about this, but you actually know my son Charlie pretty well, and he knows you pretty well, I think, and you're aware, you've touched on the fact that you guys are specialists in connecting families with the students and the school. You know that our family have always tried to focus on Charlie's strengths to engage with him, but also for him to engage with his community setting. That's been so important to us. I think as parents, we sort of focus on that as a bit of a protective measure as well, to see that he does have something to offer. And that's great. So I talk about strengths a lot, and it does not mean that Charlie does not have challenges. As a parent, for the listeners out there, Charlie he does have challenges. His fine motor needs support. His communication does need support, but we always focus on the strengths. So Megan, can you please give us an insight from your perspective and touch again on your understanding of ASD, but highlight the fact that with the right support, individuals can have their strengths highlighted and they can flourish in their own individual way?
Yeah, that's such a wonderful question to talk about. And I really admire how you're openly talking about the fact that there are real challenges having autism in a neurotypically driven society. And that's definitely how ASPECT thinks about it. Our purpose is a different brilliant, because we are so committed to focusing on those strengths and interests. And that doesn't take away from the fact that There are many challenges, but so many of these are presented by a society that doesn't accommodate the uniqueness and the amazingness of our students and people on the autism spectrum. So I really like the balanced approach. We have had families who are having a particularly difficult time take issue with the different brilliant kind of push from us, because it hides the fact that there are some really tough days and there are some real barriers to students accessing their strengths and interests. So we don't shy away from any of that, but our underlying principle is people on the autism spectrum can flourish in their own way, which is such a lovely way to say it, with the right support. So there's a really exciting movement in disability education over the last decade or so about empowering individual voice, and this kind of mantra of nothing about us without us. And that's something that really highlighted for me when you were asking the question, that flourishing in their own way and the right support, wherever possible, we're really, really committed to making that student-led. And for some students like Charlie, he can definitely tell us a lot about what makes him happy and what makes him really excited to learn and what motivates him. For other kids, you've got to play a detective a little bit more and dig into when they're really balanced and settled or happy or excited and when they're not. So we're really committed at Hunter School to empower that student voice wherever we can. And it's actually one of our school improvement goals for the next little while, to really build that into our individual planning, making sure that student's opinion is front and center of all of these conversations. I think we're really proud to be an autism specific setting. And we know a lot about autism. I think it, like you touched on, Emily, as well, all individuals have a unique experience of autism. So we've kind of got big themes around, we know what the research says about the thinking differences on the autism spectrum, but we do, again, that person is the center of our planning. So the kind of ideas that I'll talk about around how to harness those strengths of autism, really, it's a unique experience within that for the individual. One of the examples that came to mind when I heard your question was around the thinking difference in autism around being really detailed focused, and about how, what a strength that can be if it's harnessed. And that's such a neat example of how, with the right supports, the right encouragement to build on that strength, because a lot of people on the autism spectrum might have a challenge working out the whole picture, but they can find details really, really well. That's such an asset to have in mathematics, as an example. With the right support, with the right opportunity, supposed deficits of the autism spectrum can really be turned around and harnessed into a strength. Another example I thought of was having seen Charlie's social motivation, and that's such a strong driver of so much of his day, in my observations. I've really admired how your family have used that strength to engage in an activity and kind of sneaking in other learning using that motivation. And that's really how our teachers think about it as well. You find something that's going to motivate someone to be involved, and then you might sneak in a bit of maths learning, and then they're not realizing they're doing maths because they're so meeting their needs to be social and to engage with others and so on. So I think that's such an incredible strength to have, a social motivation. So to use that to learn is just a wonderful opportunity. I was thinking as well about the involvement of external specialists and families with this question, because we're so proud of what we do and it's all very evidence-based, but we don't pretend to know everything there is to know about autism, and certainly not everything there is to know about an individual. So again, that partnership working with families and external specialists is really crucial to make sure that right support's provided. Another example I wanted to mention from a previous question was when a student is having a difficult time managing their behavior, we've got a structure called the complex situation review. And because, like we chatted about earlier, the challenges, and particularly around emotional regulation, are unfortunately often inherent in the autism spectrum as people try to cope with a society that's perhaps not built for their way of thinking. So in that process, it's really just an intensive kind of case conference approach where we meet with families at least monthly and external specialists, and really interrogate everything we're doing and the family, how the family's working with the behavior or the challenge, and make sure we're all on the same page, because so many individuals seem to fall through the cracks in other settings where the behavior is so challenging that they're almost written off and their ability to learn is massively sacrificed. And we don't want to work like that. We want to dig into how we're best supporting that flourishing and that learning opportunities. I think if we can't do this really, really well. Who can? We're autism specific. We've got a great ratio of staff. We've got an amazing parent community and good connections with external specialists. So the bespoke, personalized, right support for these individuals means that our student outcomes are really, really strong.
Again, inspirational listening to you speak. And again, I want to refer back to the fact that I'm listening to you as a parent, obviously, of a child on the autism spectrum. And I want to touch on that comment that you made about the fact that there are challenging days. There are really challenging days. And I know we have them in our house a lot. And it's really interesting when you mentioned Charlie out in the social setting. He never forgets a name. He'll go, my other children won't talk to people downtown, but he knows everybody's name. He'll go and have a chat. And people always come up to me and say, gee, he's going so well. He's so great. He's such a great member of the community. And that's what they see of him. So they don't see the challenges necessarily. I guess people downtown have such a different perception of him because they see his strengths. He finds writing his name difficult, but these people don't know that because they see this really beautiful, strong part of his skill set. So it is really interesting to navigate all of that. And I also really like the fact that you as a school and as a community don't rest on the fact that a child is presenting with some challenging behavior. Therefore, that's it. That's it. Because you investigate and you never give up. And that's the thing that I feel that parents will take out of this when they're having those challenging days. They think, no, I'm not going to give up. We're going to work on this and we'll work together and we can as a team produce the best outcomes. It's really amazing. So Megan, are there any other comments after this conversation that you want to add?
Just to build on your point around the team, I think that's such a great message to take away for any parent who's new to diagnosis or new to school or in a school setting or changing settings. Is we feel really passionate about creating a support network and fostering that support network for our families and our children. And as we've grown to have year 12 for the first time this year, that's become an even bigger priority for us to make sure there's a really strong support network because of the benefit of collaborating, which is obvious. You know, you rather have lots of experts in the room on an individual than just one person dictating the plan. But also it's a really protective thing to establish for a child. So the more connections you can have with people who are ethically aligned to how you think about your child and about autism, and people to provide all sorts of different input is a real great thing you're talking about with families, Emily. I think that's brilliant. The only other thing I crossed my fingers earlier to remind me to say was there's an organization called Positive Partnerships that some of your families may be in touch with already, but I couldn't recommend highly enough. They're really committed to being evidence-based and only presenting ideas and concepts backed up by research. But there's lots of free resources on there, free online modules for families, for extended families, for specialists, for kids on the autism spectrum. So dig into those resources as well. It's a great little hub.
It's a terrific website, and that's a really good recommendation for the parents out there. Megan, I know you're a very busy woman. And I really appreciate your time today. I can't tell you how valuable this conversation has been to me, but no doubt the listeners. So I'm going to say thank you and let you get back to your very, very important job. And hopefully we get to do this again.
Oh, I would love to. Thank you so much, Emily. I really admire how you're working to boost the outcomes for families, particularly at such a vulnerable time when they're new to diagnosis. So really grateful for the chat. Thank you.
I loved my conversation with Megan today. As a parent of a child with ASD, it was great to be reminded of the fact that each individual on the spectrum have their own strengths and their own needs. And when these are catered for, that's when we see them flourish. I hope this conversation has been useful to you, specifically for parents who have a child who has recently received a diagnosis of ASD, or possibly for parents who have a child who is transitioning into the school system. If you have questions, comments, or want to revisit a topic that we spoke about today, feel free to jump onto my Instagram or Facebook page at Mummel Road. I would love to hear your feedback. Remember, I'm here to help you, and every road starts with small steps. Until next time, bye.